everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today I am privileged to be joined by Rabbi Yochanan Schnall, Rabbinic Coordinator with the CRC Chicago Rabbinical Council. Thank you, Rabbi Schnall, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, I know that at the CRC, besides for being a Rabbinic Coordinator, you have an expertise, and that is that you oversee the transportation, Kashrus of transportation, which to me is just incredible. Just to think about it, that there's a department that focuses just on transportation. So I'm just wondering, is the CRC the only major kashrus organization that has that sort of department?
No, several other major kashrus organizations have that. The CRC is really, logistically, we're situated in the Midwest, and that's like the crossroads of America, where you have a lot of transportation going back and forth and everything. So, Baruch Hashem, I think we might be the only one that has such an emphasis on transportation.
And you say that's largely because of your location,
sure.
So it makes sense. Now, when we talk about kashrus transportation, are we talking about food trucks? Are we talking about tankers? You know, I mean, you know, from schmoozing you about this, I know that people will often ask, you know, I saw a tanker truck with a kashrus symbol on it. Why in the world would gasoline or something like that need kosher certification? Now, obviously, it's more than that, right? These trucks are carrying real food.
In fact, you know, if you look at a tanker truck, you'll see next time you go on the highway, you'll see that there's really two shapes. They'll have the, it looks like an oval. Those are the ones which are carrying gasoline. Mm-hmm. And then the round ones are actually not carrying gasoline. They're carrying any other type of liquid. They can be carrying milk. They can be carrying orange juice. They can be carrying ketchup. They can be carrying, you know, oils and stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's thousands of these trailers that are hauling food products every day.
Right. So to certify a truck, what does that entail? I mean, let's walk through the process.
Yeah, sure. So it's actually funny when we go to go see a tanker, you know, and when we start up with a kosher program for transportation, very often we ask, oh, you know, how are you going to see our tankers? We have, you know, 50 tankers and all they're spread across the country. Or, you know, how are you going to go see them, bus them? And, you know, that's what the guy would think, that they bus them.
Right.
But really, we don't actually have to see the tanker. Once we kosher it, which we could talk about in a minute, but once it's set up in the kosher program, we actually monitor it using paperwork. Because there's a very complex structure that these trucking companies utilize in order for them to oversee their hauls. And we ride on that, we use that, and we require that they submit reports to us to show exactly what they hauled. We have a whole system in place.
Do you actually have a tracking system to track where a truck is going, when it's emptied, when it's refilled?
That's a good question. So the larger companies, the way that they work is they have the logistics software, because they have thousands of trailers, and they need that. So we just require that they submit a monthly report to us of all the trailer, you know, all the hauls that they did, so that we can audit that. And we also certify very small companies, you know, mom and pop places, that they're literally writing down on a piece of paper what they did. So how do we monitor that? So it really depends on each industry. Some industries, they simply cannot haul anything else in their tankers. Their tankers are very, very specific for that type.
When you're saying specific, let's say to orange juice or to milk or to something
More like a dairy, like a milk, you know, from that's hauling raw milk, let's say, for example. They're not going to be hauling anything else in that type of tanker. It's a very unique type of tanker. But
and it's obviously a refrigerator tanker, right?
But believe it or not, no. these tankers, a 3A... tanker, they're insulated, and believe it or not, they could actually haul milk from, let's say, Wisconsin or Minnesota all the way to New York, which could take 2-3 days, in the summer, and the milk
refrigerated.
Right, it's not refrigerated, but the milk will still remain under, I don't remember exactly the threshold, but it has to be delivered under like 30 degrees. They measure it when it gets delivered, and if it's above that, they reject it, you know, the incoming plant, but just the sheer, you know, size of these containers are really able to hold the milk.
That's very interesting.
And the fact that they're insulated, regarding the smaller companies, some of them, the way that we track them, we actually started using very sophisticated technology, which is that we require that they put trackers on the tanker. And this way we could actually see and you know, audit based on those trackers. We could see wherever it is, you know, they'll submit a report like any other company, right? And then we go back to on our online portal and we say, okay, well, you know, does this make sense? This trailer was traveling in these places. and we line it up to make sure that it actually, you know, adds up to what they're
When you say adds up, meaning it didn't stay in one place too long, or it didn't
I mean, the biggest concern, right? Yeah. So let, I mean, we really talk about what are our concerns.
Right, right.
Let's talk about that for a second. Okay. So, you know, how does a trailer become non-kosher? Right. Okay. Well, the way a trailer could become non-kosher is if, let's say, it hauled something which is non-kosher. Let's say you have lard, you have chicken fat, you have, you know, even issues with kavush, you know, especially because these trailers are hauling for so long.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. The fact that a non-kosher item went through the truck would not necessarily make it non-kosher, because it may not have been...
It's not heated.
It's not heated, right? And So what is the typical issue? Is it an issue of kavush? And and again, for our viewers to understand, the issue of kavush is that when something remains in enclosed in a for a X period of time, so then it becomes absorbed into the walls of of the tanker.
Right. So usually kavush would be 24 hours, right, unless it's a very strong product, which we could have like a vinegar or something like that. That would be even shorter, shorter period of time. And a lot of these hauls are done for days.
Sure, sure.
So that's the problem. Now, on top of that is that if you have a thicker, more viscous product, then there is heat that goes inside of the on the bottom of the trailer. There's like a steam line that runs through it. It's heated by the engine of the truck. And like chocolate would be a great example.
Because they don't want it to coagulate.
Because then they won't be able to deliver it.
Right.
stays.
They want to leave it a liquid, so they have to raise the temperature.
That's right. And in fact, this is an interesting anecdote. We could talk about this this time. It's just very fascinating. Yeah. You know, lately, especially with COVID, this became a big, big issue because a lot of these food manufacturers, they did not want to be stuck with supply shortages.
Right.
So we have, for example, a tank wash, which we'll talk about in a second. But a tank wash, they have this thing which is called a steam pad. What's a steam pad? Basically, is they have a service and they have steam coils that will plug into the back of the tanker.
Okay.
And they could have a tanker that's not being driven right now, but it's just on standby for delivery at a nearby chocolate factory. Right. And the chocolate factory needs to make sure that their chocolate is, you know, so they'll literally pay for dozens and dozens of these tankers to be loaded, fully loaded tankers, just to be standing there, and you know, with a steam line that's going into them, and which is going to keep them heated and ready and liquid, so that they're able to deliver when they need to. So back to the cost.
It's almost like these tankers become their storage facility for them, right?
Right. That's exactly it. Right. And we have to monitor that those tankers, because if, for example, they're hauling chocolate, they're almost for sure going to become dairy. Mm-hmm. And you know, the next client that's going to want to, you know, let's say receive an oil shipment,
which you want Bipara.
Exactly, right.
So, let's say that's a great example. Let's take that example. Yeah. You have trucks with chocolate for a long enough period of time where it's a concern, and now you want to do an oil shipment. What do you do?
So what we do is every tanker has a designation. There's a certificate for the tanker. That's how they know it's kosher. You know, the food manufacturer, they'll ask them, you know, how do we know that it was delivered on a kosher tanker? They have a certificate that shows that it was delivered, that it was kosher. So we would indicate on that tanker, let's say tanker 757, and it'll say the word dairy right next to it. So that will now be the burden on the food manufacturer. When that delivery comes in, he reviews the kosher letter, and he sees, what does it say on the kosher letter? And he sees, oh, it says that's dairy. Okay, is that an issue or not? Most food manufacturers wouldn't care, but we do have some that do. I mean, we just had an issue maybe a year ago that there was actually a meat processing plant, and the kosher agency called us, like, what's going on? We see that it was delivered on a dairy trailer.
Oh, wow.
So, like, you know, we obviously did, you know, exactly, we had to figure out how severe was the issue, and you know, we worked with them, and, you know, but going forward, we pointed out to them that we always indicate on the certificate if that trailer has been hauling dairy or not.
So let's say it had been hauling dairy, and now you want to produce this power of oil, do you actually kosher the truck?
Yeah, so that's, yes, so let's talk about that. So our general, let's say we have a new client. He has,
he has a fleet of 50
trailers,
tankers,
and we don't know what their prior history is. Kosher that. Can you imagine, you know, koshering these huge tankers?
Right.
So there's a multi-billion dollar industry, maybe even trillion, for all I know, called a tank wash. You might see driving down the highway, I mean, and you see a sign, a tank wash or something like that. And most people think that just means that they're going to wash the outside of the truck. But really, is the tanker, if you think about it, a tanker that was just hauling mustard, let's say,
right?
If the next product is going to be, let's say, corn syrup, right? The corn syrup is going to start tasting like mustard.
Sure,
it has nothing to do with the kosher issue, right? Exactly.
It's the quality of the next item.
Exactly. So what they do is, after the load, the tanker will stop by a tank wash, and they'll wash it out. Now, the standard tank wash has three steps. They have what's called the flush, which is they just rinse out whatever's in there. Okay. The next step is the actual wash itself, which has detergent or, you know, very strong detergent. It depends on what they're washing out. Sometimes they have a caustic, really strong solutions.
And that'll be relevant to kashrus because it's a Dover HaPoygim.
That's right. That's where I'm going, right? Okay. And then the next step, the final step, is called the rinse. The final rinse, just to rinse out. Before we get to kashrus, this is really what they have. They have these three steps. And this is just the standard, what they, you know. So what the kosher agencies do is we utilize those.
Right.
And we say, okay, well, let's have the detergent wash. Let's make that into the pagan. The final rinse, let's make that into the koshering. Uh-huh. Now, there are challenges. And, you know, just an interesting challenge that, you know, your listeners might be interested in hearing. Just like a little glimpse into, you know, how you really have to understand technology. You really have to know how different things work. It came to my attention that we were, you know, a lot of agencies and a lot of different washes were relying on the pagan, on that detergent wash.
Right.
But I was thinking, you know, the detergent wash has to be a certain temperature in order to be considered a pagan.
Right.
So the temperature of these, the very thick, let's say palm oils, would be good 170 degrees, 170
in order
degrees.
To clean it out thoroughly, you
well,
think?
No. I mean, what I mean to say is...
Oh, when it's
when
transported?
It's being transported,
oh,
right?
Okay.
So there is a chazanish that says that in order for it to be pagan... Right.
It has to be at that temperature?
Exactly. Because
is that because
Kabbalah
Kachpalte?
Yes, we don't know exactly what the temperature is that it's going to absorb, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to be Bilea. So therefore, the Pagim has to be the same temperature
at least
it could have been. What was interesting is that a lot of these detergents, the companies, the recommended manufacturer guidelines was to use that, let's say, 140, 150 degrees, which that wouldn't be hot enough to be considered a Pagim. So... I actually went to, you know, one example. I went to a client and I was like, you know, why are you doing it at 140? Maybe you could bump it up to closer to 180.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, we can't because if you look at the recommendations, mm-hmm. it says not to do that.
Are they afraid it's going to ruin the tanker?
Well, they thought maybe it wouldn't work, that it would ruin the detergent or the plastic or whatever.
Okay.
So I was like, well, what company are you using for the detergent? It turns out the CRC actually certifies that.
Oh, really?
Yes, we certified it. So I reached out to the coordinator who, you know, was involved with that company. I was like, can you do me a favor? Let's find out exactly what's going on here. Okay, they could go higher. And their response is, yeah, of course it could go up to 212 degrees, no problem.
Oh,
so
wow.
I said, so then why are you putting that? It's like, you know, your clients are... They said, yeah, that's just recommended numbers because most of the applications are within that range. Uh-huh. So that's why we put it in there. But of course, it could be much higher. Exactly.
Wow.
So, you know, that's just an example of how, you know, we always try to, you know, think out of the box. Don't take things for granted. Always, you know, look and try to figure out, like, you know, what's exactly holding them back from being able to utilize this for kashrus and doing it accordingly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So... Finishing off on this.
So let's get back to this. So what we do to kasher is we have a client. They say, okay, we have these trailers. We need to kasher them.
Right.
So usually the standard is that we need to have actually the mashgiach who's there, who's going to sign off to say that these trailers were there and they were kashered accordingly.
So you need a mashgiach during the wash.
During the detergent wash and then during the kashering wash. That's the standard. Some of the more modern tank wash facilities, they'll have everything pre-programmed. So what it's called a wash recipe. The recipe is, you know, depending on what the priors are, what used to be hauled inside of those tankers.
Right.
They have that all set up. Okay, if it was hauling chocolate, then they just push the chocolate button. And if it's, you know,
it'll do the exact
time and temperature and detergent, whatever.
So is that something that you could watch remotely? You could actually...
Believe it or not, it will record what it did. So then we have the same thing when it comes to a kosher upgrade. We say, okay, well, let's create a kosher upgrade formula, right?
And then they call a recipe,
and they push the button, and then it automatically records that this is what happened.
Uh-huh.
And then on top of which is that you have to also realize that we're measuring the temperatures, right? When the spray is spraying throughout the tanker, right, it gets cooled off, especially if you're in Chicago in the middle of the winter,
it gets
cooled off.
Meaning the temperature that it is when it comes out of
the spray
and when it reaches the other end of the truck is not going to be the same.
That's right. Well, the way it works, I don't know if I mentioned this, but the way it works is that you have in the top of a tanker, it's called a manhole, manway, which is like a dome lid.
Right, that opens?
Right,
okay.
So most of them have like one, some might have two or three, and then they lower like a spinner. It looks like almost like a, you're saying to make a good example, it would almost be like, think of like a very complex dishwasher spinner.
Okay.
But it's much more, you know, a lot more spinning being
done and stuff like
that. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more that's going on there, but it gets lowered inside of it and then just spins around, you know, in all different directions. So when it leaves that spinner, it could be even 200 degrees, but by the time it exits the trailer, it might only be, you know, 160 degrees, uh-huh. which wouldn't be enough to ask for kosher. So we have to make sure that the temperatures are being measured as it's leaving
the truck.
Right. So that's another thing that, you know, there's a lot that goes into setting up a wash facility to make sure that they're able to kosher properly.
And typically the companies are okay with that, but you...
Yeah, they want, I mean, in fact, they embrace kosher. Believe it or not, I work with these guys all the time and I find them, they're so respectful uh-huh. when it comes to kosher. Many of them, especially when you go to the South, you know, they think that we're blessing the trailer.
Right.
All these
right.
things, but let me explain to them. It's purely technical what we're doing, but they're very respectful. They really want it. They want it to be done right, and right. it's really incredible.
Are the tankers typically all created equal, or are there products that are more complex to kosher after than others? I know you mentioned chocolate, oil. I would imagine oil, for example,
right.
which is probably harder to clean, right?
No. Chocolate, believe it or not.
Chocolate is more
the
difficult?
The hardest food product is chocolate.
To clean a truck
to
from.
To clean a truck from, yeah. Uh-huh. Because a lot of times, even after they deliver it, they're not interested. The trailer is not going to be heating it anymore. So uh-huh. when it comes to when they wash it out, there's actually people that have to be going inside.
And scrape.
They have like these picks and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, to pick it out. I mean,
what
it's
a
really,
job.
Yeah,
wow.
it's really, really...
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So you would say, is chocolate the most difficult of all?
So for when we get there to kosher it, we require that the trailer is already clean.
Uh-huh.
So that's we're really after all that, you know.
So by the time you get the truck to do the koshering, it's a clean truck.
That's
now
right,
the question
that's
is
right.
just from a halachic standpoint, what the Hechsher Kalim process
exactly,
looks like.
Exactly, exactly, uh-huh. yeah.
Rabbi Schnall, thank you again for being here discussing today about tankers. Amir Tzashem, the next time we meet, we'll continue our discussion and focus on rail cars and stationary tanks.
Sure. It's a topic in itself.
Thank you.